Good evening, everyone. It is such a great joy and an honor to be back here and to share with you what God is doing in the nation of India. Amen? There you go. India, we do this. It's a cultural thing. You say hallelujah, amen. There you go. And it keeps the guy going. So thank you very much, Pastor Matt Haverly, and also for the entire church body here and Edgewater Fellowship for joining hands together as one team in working for the kingdom of God in India. You know, and we know that it takes teamwork. It's not going to be just done by us or not just by you. It takes together to get the job done. And we believe that God has really connected us together in these end days to harvest India for Jesus. And there are so many things going on there. We are looking forward to having the youth team from here in March. We are going to have some awesome times there. And the youth that are coming over there, I believe their life will never be the same after they come back. So it is going to really challenge and provoke many other people to come and to experience of what God is doing. And I believe God is going to bless those youth on that. In this year of 2008, by the grace of God, we had about 2,500 children on our vacation Bible school. It was just amazing time. We had people coming from all over Rameshwaram Island. And see, our island is the second most holy place for the Hindu faith. But right in the hot spot, God really beginning to bring many people from the island. And they have come, and many hundreds, they've given their hearts to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And also along with that, we had our national conference. And in that, we had several thousand people. They came from all over India. And in that, we had several of them. They're from the Nepal, you know, from the Nepal, country of Nepal, and also from northern India. And the Nepal students, when they went back to Nepal, and God really just used them mightily. In fact, my brother Israel and my brother-in-law, John Joseph, they both were able to go up there to see the new believers and able to baptize them, 21 people, in the open river there for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! It is a Hindu kingdom where the Nepal is, but now the Lord just opening the door there for the Christians to step in. And we believe God is going to do greater things in the days to come. The Principi School, we have two schools there, and we had an annual day for one of the school, and we had invited one of the very known speaker, and he was a very politically influential person. He's over about 2 million people. He lives in Delhi. He was with the Prime Minister, Chief Minister, President of India, and all that 2 days before he came to our place. And this man was actually invited there to give a speech, but thank God, this man was able to go to a Christian school and also Christian college, and even though he is a Muslim, his name is Hazrat Ali, but still he has such a great respect and a heart for Christianity. And he openly said to over 1,000 people who were there, you know, the parents of the children and many public people. We had the mayor of the city is right there sitting on the stage along with the police authority and so forth. And he openly confessed that, you know, you need to respect and give so much of open heart and accept the Christianity. Because he said if the Christianity has not come to India, then India would have been still a Stone Age nation. Because of Christianity, the eyes of Indian people were opened. And it is just such a great compliment and a validity from this man who actually openly conveyed that. And since then, the Lord is beginning to really open many doors, you know, for us with the school. And we also had a team came from Mountain Christian Fellowship, and Pastor Jim and the team, they came. You saw him, you know, briefly there. But with the medical team that we had, we were able to go to many different villages, even including a dentist. They came from Eagle River, Alaska. And we were able to minister to over 3,000 people personally, one-on-one, in many different areas for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is just opening the door continuously to do the ministry. But in the midst of this, there is a lot of persecution also going on. You know, you might have heard about the training center that we have been working on. We are on the last leg of finishing the roof. And we have been working on this for long 9 years. And we are kind of getting to the last stage of putting the roof up. And once we get that done, we will be able to start using the facility. And next year, God willing, in March, there is a team coming from California. And they are looking at having a pastor's conference with 1,000 pastors coming inside of this auditorium for teaching the word. So we are going to teach 2 Timothy. And there's a lot of expectation that how God is going to be using this facility in an ongoing basis. Just 2 weeks ago, we had 600 youth people in the main auditorium. We had 3 days of conference there for the youth, and they're going back fully charged and fully fired up to carry the gospel into the villages of India. That's all going on even in the middle of the construction. But pray the Lord will help us to get this roof done and many other things that we are hoping to finish. And we need to see God is going to move through this facility in a continuous basis. Once we are done, we can accommodate up to 500 students at a time for training as a missionaries, for church planters, evangelists, and they'll be going out in an ongoing basis to share the gospel of Christ into many places. We need your prayer, especially right now in India. India is facing some massive persecution. You know, it's very hard for me to share. But my brother and my brother-in-law was there on the very spot where things have happened. And my brother just got back home yesterday after traveling there for about a month, visiting those places. Christmas of last year, 2007, there are some radical people, of communist people, they have taken responsibility later on. But they have gone into this Hindu ashram, you know, which is like a Hindu temple area, and they killed and assassinated the main leader as well as 4 other companions. 5 people were assassinated. But the Hindus in that area, they just blamed their whole thing onto Christianity. They said it's the Christians who did this. It's just like Nero, who just blamed it on Christians for setting fire on Rome. And the same way, the same people have done it, and because of that, the radical Hindus, the fundamental Hindu people, they just begin to go out into their villages, just rampaging and start destroying churches, schools, hospitals, and just beginning to beat and burn, and so many different damages they're beginning to do to the Christian community. And it has been going on, even happening right now. 3 days ago, they burned 150 homes. So far, over 5,000 houses were burned down completely to the ground. There are several hundred people being killed in that area. And also, it is actually 3 days travel away from our place. So it's not anything near. It's near Calcutta, you know, way up there in the northern part. But still, it's part of India. And these people are being persecuted because the name of Jesus. Because they have given their life to Jesus. These are all Hindu people who have given their life for the Lord. And because of that, they have been persecuted. There's over 50,000 people. They're just escaping from being killed. And they're running into this forest area. And forest is their hiding refuge, place. They're sleeping under the tree, on the grass. And the monsoon is there. The raining is pouring. And so many things are happening. So many churches been destroyed, and it has been going on in a very, very bad manner. And one of the things that one church that we know, the pastor, and one of the pastors that we support, he knows this pastor really well. And he was in a distance area where he was living in a rented house. But this pastor and his wife was in this church. His children already gone to the school. And the radicals, 400 of them, broke into the church, went inside, brought those, the husband and the wife, the pastor and his wife, and they misused the wife really bad, by tearing all her clothes off and everything. Then they literally cut this pastor into 4 pieces and he died in front of the church gate, church door. And this is, you know, again in the northern part in Calcutta, near Calcutta area. But that after that happened, so many things beginning to take place. And my brother was holding in his hand, he sent me an email picture of a brother who burned alive inside of his house while the family has fled away from that place. He could not able to get out. He was holding the bone of that brother in his hand. How worse can you able to get with the persecution? He was able to meet the mother, you know, the wife and the children and comfort them and share with them. And there is so many stuff. I'm not going into the details, but we need prayer. You know, we talk about losing things and life is coming to a challenging situation, but it is nothing compared to some of these people losing their life just for their faith, for nothing else. They will ask you, do you believe in Jesus? If they say yes, they'll set fire to their home. If they say no, we will follow the Hindu God, they'll just leave them alone. So it is actually happening in a very bad situation, and we want God to intervene in this hour and to stop all these things going on. Because their plan is to spread them, you know, into other places. But I believe God is going to use the church and I believe God is going to help with the government to take some action in this hour so they will be protected and watched over. So keep us in your prayer that God will continuously help us with that. Amen? And we believe every single people that are losing their life is not going to be a vain. Every drop of blood, everything they have suffering for the sake of Christ, for the sake of, you know, kingdom, is going to be paying back. We have seen over the years, wherever the persecution, now we have churches, you know, it's coming along. So we believe there's going to be a huge harvest is going to take place, but it takes our prayer. Amen? I would like to share with you this evening from Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, amen? So here we could see that there, you know, it shows that when the evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Amen? And we can see the scripture, let us cross over to the other side, is written in red letter. That means that was said by Jesus. And in the scripture we can see on the same day when the evening had come. Normally the evening for us is when we work so hard all day long and we are so tired, we are sweating and we just want to take a break. We want to just relax and rest and it's a time to go home and just to kick our feet on the air or kick our feet on the lazy boy and pull the liver there, you know, and something pops out and, you know, out of the chair all of a sudden, and you keep your feet up there and just kind of taking it easy. It's a time that you are winding down your day and want to just to take a break and rest. That's the evening. But for Jesus, there is no evening, there is no morning. For us, morning is everything when we start something and evening is when we end everything. But for Jesus, he can do anything, anytime. He created evening and the morning. For both of them, it's equal to him. And sometime in our life that we go on and we see things kind of winding down, things are not happening the way that we expected. Things are kind of given up on us. And we think, oh Lord, this is kind of end of the whole road here. Maybe the next thing may happen down the road. But for Jesus, no, when we think it is evening, it is when it is ending, the Lord is saying, no, I'm just beginning. When you think it, you're ending in your own, I'm having my strength come in and beginning something new and fresh here. Amen? So that's the evening thing here. And we can see, Jesus is saying, let us cross over to the other side. Amen? That means Jesus is initiating this journey. This is not some cool idea of the disciples. Let's get on the boat and go to the other side just to look around. This is Jesus is talking to the disciples, giving them the instruction, let's go to the other side. Amen? And I'm going to compare this with our life. The life from this side of the journey, going into the other side, that is to the eternity. That is the heaven. That is the life that we are, you know, dreaming and looking forward to go one day. That's the other side. I'm just going to parallel this. And the Lord Jesus, you know, when we give our life to the Lord and He become Master and Lord and Savior of our life, He starts the journey, you know, with us. He takes us from this side of the world to the other side of life. Amen? That's the journey of life that we are traveling from this side to the other side. And here we can see, and now, when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. Okay? Here this boat is traveling with Jesus and disciples and everything. And along with this big boat, there is also tiny little boats. They were also thought, well, let's follow this big boat and go with them to see what they are going to do out there. And they just want to go along with this big boat. So there's a tiny little boat they were also following. Verse 37. And a great wind storm arose, and the wave beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Whoa! Come on! What is going on here? It says, the great wind storm arose, and the waves were beating on the boat. Wait a minute. Jesus is in the boat. If Jesus is in the boat, why is it all these things is really happening around me? That's what we think. Amen? We say, Lord, I gave my life to You. I'm totally sold out. You are the Master and Savior. And I just want You to take me to the other side. But when we receive Jesus, we think the life is going to be so smooth. You're just going to float there, and it's going to be just like a butter, and you know, it's going to be smooth all the way. Sorry. Not quite. Sometimes it does, but not always. He didn't say that I'm promising you that everything is going to be wonderful until you die. He didn't promise that. He said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That is truly promised. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen? That is the hope that we have that others do not have. Even though we have trouble, even though we have problems, in the midst of that, we have hope because we are following the God who is overcomer of everything. And here we can see, even though Jesus is on board, He is in our life. We are journeying this life to go to the other side. Jesus is on board. Still, the wind storm is coming against it. The wave is beating. And we were thinking, Lord, I gave my life. Why is it then my family relationship is not working out? Why is it then things are not quite going on good with my wife or my family or with my children? Why is it then financial issues are really kind of coming down on me? It's so overwhelming. It's just beating against my boat. And here we can see, it's not only beating the boat so that it was already filling. Many of you, you've been on a boat. I've been on a boat. I don't like to be on a boat very long. I got cold and I want to get back. I'm a more land guy than on the ocean person. And here we can see, it was already filling. So this is no kidding. You know when what happens when a boat gets filled with water, it goes down. It doesn't float anymore. It doesn't go to that next destiny anymore. It goes down. That's what happened when it fills. And these people, they're seeing all these symptoms. They're seeing, oh, this is coming against me. This is beating over this side. And I'm just surrounded by all these things going on. And I'm about to sink. This is what they're saying. It is already filling. But in the midst of all these things going on, verse 38, but, all these things happening, but He was in the train asleep on a pillow. Hello, pillow. What is going on here? These people are thinking they are going to lose their life and they are singing, and Jesus is in a pillow sleeping. He's like, no big deal. He's taking a nap, or maybe they woke him up, so he was really in deep sleep. But one thing we can be sure of in this journey, if we have Jesus with us on board, He will definitely assure us that we are not going to sink with Jesus. Amen? That's the one thing is not going to happen. Even though it may look like it's going to happen, it may feel like it's going to happen, it may, you know, just comes all over the place here, but we are not going to sink with Jesus in the ocean. Amen? In this journey. Because He is going to show up and He is going to give us hope and future. And here we can see that they called upon Him. They woke Him up and said to Him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Isn't that the same statement 2,000 years ago people made that we make even today? Don't you care? Don't you concern about this? We are just dying here, sinking here, hopeless situation. What are you doing there? Help us out here. And these people are saying, don't you care? And then He rose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Amen. One right thing they have done, these disciples, they didn't go to each other and talking, hey, make a plan here. Give me your input. Give me your suggestion. How do we do? And how do we get this plan to stop this wind and stop this water and all this stuff? They didn't make a plan between themselves. They know it's beyond their hands. They know their plan is not going to work. So they went straight to the source. The source is Jesus Himself. Amen? They did the right thing. They went to the Lord and committed their ways and their troubles, their problems. And the Lord got up and He simply spoke a word. He didn't put a big commodity there and, jumping up and down and all that. He just simply spoke a word and it came into place. And we can see, as much as a great windstorm that came, we can see when it was ceased, there was a great calmness also. Amen? So if the problem is greater, great, then the answer, the calmness will be even greater. You know, if that comes in great portion, you hear God is just bringing a great calmness there. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor Billy, by the way, you don't quite understand my situation. You know, you are not in my shoe. Well, I may not be, but I can understand something. Here we could see on this big boat that has Jesus in it. And when the boat is out there with Jesus, there were also little boats that was nearby this big boat. They were all traveling together. So that when the wind came, when the storm is against, when all these things is happening, it's not happening to that one single boat. It is happening to the whole thing. Everybody is getting beaten up. Everybody is getting affected. That's like in our journey, we have Jesus in our life. And there are other boats. This is, neighbors or relatives or family or friends or different people. They do not have Jesus in their life. They're probably traveling too, but, but they don't have Jesus on board. So at least this boat had Jesus. When they called upon the name, the Lord showed up and He calmed everything. And that answer is not only for that boat, it is also a benefit and a blessing for the little boats that was around that boat also. Amen? So through our prayer, through our seeking God, through our trusting in God completely, when things are out of our hand that we cannot do anything about, people out there surrounded us, they're watching us, how we are going to react, how we are going to take a step, because they don't have Jesus in them. They're thinking that we are going to do something here. And if we are panicking and if we are going out just like them, then there won't be any difference. God wants us to seek Him and go to Him, and that answer receiving from the Lord will be a beneficial, will be a blessing for other little boats that are also going around us. Amen? So I pray the Lord will continuously bless you with this word and keep us continuously in your prayer. You know, do not give up in your situation. You may face a lot of crisis. You may face a lot of hard situations. But I believe if you hang on to the Lord Jesus Christ at all time, He will safely take us and take us to the other side, which is eternity. Amen? He is not going to let us sink on the middle of the road, middle of this ocean. He is not going to let us just fail on the way. He is going to take us safely because it is His idea, it is His plan, it is His will that we, you know, let us cross over to the other side. Let us go to the next side of the world, which is eternity. So keep us continuously in your prayer that God will continuously strengthen the brothers and sisters in India that are going through some hard times, that God will use them and we'll be able to see great harvest in the days to come. Amen.